This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons hanging out with you on WEEI. The best way we know how to, with incredible passion and vigor. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Missed any of the show? We've talked Celtics, Patriots, Bruins. And it's not like a wide world of sports show. It's not like, up next, what's going on with the Bruins? Then up next is that. You get into the conversation where the conversation goes. There's where it goes, and then it stops. 617-779-7937. What's up to Shane? Thank you so much for calling WEEI, and good Wednesday evening to you, my man.
How you guys doing tonight?
Excellent. Thanks for the call, brother.
Yeah, good to get on. You know, the Celtics, you know, first half, you know, I just thought the pace was a little slower. I think, I don't know how much you guys have watched, you know, in that break, you know, the first 5 minutes of the third quarter, they're playing with a quicker pace. They've got a couple stops. So I think it's picked up intensity-wise. And also, I was just curious what you guys thought about Kata and his kind of emergence in terms of, you know, long-term prospects this season and moving forward. But thanks for having me, and have a great night.
All right, thanks, Shane. John?
Yeah, we actually talked about this last night with Justin Turpin, and Nemus Kate is a guy that Joe Mazzulla has been trusting more and more and more. He started tonight. He's had a bigger role recently. And I think he could be like a Cornette type in that. Remember last year in the playoffs, Cornette was great against Cleveland, but then the matchup really wasn't good for him against Indiana, and he barely played. I wonder if he could be like that matchup-dependent type big, and you'll see some nights that Nemus Kata has a bigger role. Other nights, it's Cornette. But, I mean, from where he was last year to now, his role has really increased. And I think he's made the most of the opportunity. He's gotten better, and he's carved out a little role for himself. And, again, if he can be part of that behind Porzingis rotation with Cornette, with Horford, like, I think that could be a nice little spot for him as they continue, you know, and get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this is the time to observe it, right? Because with no Porzingis in there, there's going to be minutes in that front court available.
Yeah, definitely.
So now here's the other part of it. You know, maybe there's a situation that arises around the trade deadline where someone says, you know, Kata may be someone that we can give a future to and give them regular minutes in exchange for, say, a veteran player that's going to provide, because again, it's going to come down to your bench scoring. And if you're trying to defend a title, you would say, look, it's great that we have a developmental situation, but doesn't Kata and Xavier Tillman kind of in a way bump what they, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I always feel like when a team wins a championship, right, you obviously have to win four games, right? Your starters and your stars will win you three of the four. But there's always that one game that a bench player or even a role player starter has a huge impact and helps you win, whether it's in the conference finals, whether it's in the NBA finals. But almost every team, they have some sort of moment. I mean, last year, remember game three against Indiana, Horford had 7 threes or whatever it was.
Right.
Like, and he had another game in the finals where he hit 4 or 5 threes. Like,
but keep in mind, Al Horford used to be a perennial all-star. You see what I'm saying? Like, even though that's not where his career is now, we're talking about developmental guys being able to get in there and be ready for prime time. Al Horford is a guy who's just always...
Sure, and that's fair.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the other part of it is, I like the development of Jordan Walsh because I liked his ability to defend 1 through 4 and even give 5 a problem.
They're using him a lot more.
Right. I think there's a little more value in him getting in there because, hey, he can play off of Tatum or Brown as the primary defender. So whoever, let's just say Tatum has the assignment of, let's say, God, the East is such a bad example. Let's say Paolo Banchero, okay, when he's fully healthy.
That's my dog. I love Walsh.
Right, you can put Walsh on him to create problems and not force Tatum to take that assignment.
Yeah, almost like what they did, and I know it's a long time ago, but when they had Tony Allen come into games and defend players like LeBron, like Kobe, just to take a little bit of the load off Paul Pierce. Because, look, Brown and Tatum are good defenders. Brown's been an all-defensive-level player. I know he didn't make the team last year. Tatum is a good defender. But if you can have another guy that can take the load off them a little bit, I think that's helpful. And I will say one thing about this year. We've been down on the East, but whoever you play in the playoffs, whether it's the Cavs, the Magic, they're going to be athletic teams. They're going to run a lot. And if you get to the finals, you play OKC, really athletic team that runs a lot. It's valuable to have a piece like that.
Oh, Pritchard should have taken a shot after he shook Gary Payton II out of his shoes.
He just kind of looked at him, too.
Yeah, you got to do the Randolph Childress. Come on, get back up. So, yeah, that's the thing. What you're talking about in terms of that defending, because this is a team that likes to shoot the three primarily. And so you would want those players, Brown and Tatum, to still have those legs at the end of the game to be able to get clear jump shots and their long shots. Yeah, the Celtics are now on a run.
Tatum,
they're looking good.
Up.
Yeah. Right. So, again, I think it's one of those situations where if you can get more defense, if they're not going to be scorers, they're probably going to have to be guys that can be there next to to Tatum or Brown that can provide high quality defense.
And we even saw, like last year was Xavier Tillman, right? Primarily, and he had limited minutes in the playoffs and was primarily defensive stuff, but then he had that one big shot in game 3 of the finals, right?
Right.
That made a big, and that's all you needed from him was one big shot. And other than that, hey man, just play defense, rebound, do that stuff. And I thought that was a really nice role for him. So like when you think about a guy like Nemus Keita, can he be a guy that you don't want to have to play Porzingis 35 minutes a night all the time? Could he be a guy that, hey, we can play Keita for 18 minutes and Horford for 18 minutes and split Kornet for the rest, and you can find a way to get valuable minutes from the three of them together? Or tonight, like they started a 2-big lineup tonight with Keita and Horford. Like there's, it gives you some, if that works, it gives you flexibility that maybe if you have to give Horford a night off and you want to go double big, it can be Keita and Tillman or Porzingis and Keita once he comes back. So that's why I think you mentioned it earlier. These early season minutes can really give you a chance to observe what are they having a guy like that, or do they need to add someone at the trade deadline, or is his development on the right track where he can be that role player for you?
Golden State up 7, 71-64. Yeah, trying to say Golden State 76 and not say 76ers. And then having the number 64 in there.
The next promo that played was the 76ers.
Clippers. Yeah. Right. So that's the other thing. So when you're looking at these different things, sometimes the words out of my mouth are the things that I see in front of me. I think you love the energy you're getting from Nemus Keita, right? So that's the first thing you look for. Like him and Walsh are giving you energy. And you got to say what Keita is giving you in this game. You like the 5 rebounds, you like the 6 points. You like the offensive rebounds that you're getting in there, got a couple of them. So that activity is going to be very key. But again, I think if he's part of the bench rotation and he's got to be in there probably with one or both of those, either Tatum and or Brown in there with him. I think that's how it best works for him in there. And what do you know? As soon as I say that, who comes in the game for Keita?
Kornet.
Jordan Walsh.
Oh, and then Jordan Walsh came in too, yeah.
Right. So again... Like, I like what you get from, like, here's the good thing about Kornet. He gives you exactly what you expect, and he doesn't disappoint when he provides it to you.
Yeah. And I think you know going in, he's a matchup-dependent guy, right? You play, like, you play a team that pushes the pace a lot, whether it's Indiana, OKC, it's not going to be a great night for him. But you play other teams that don't push it as much, he can give you legit minutes.
This is a great lineup to watch right now because you say, all right, clearly you run the offense through Tatum, and his two offensive helps are Hauser and Pritchard.
Yep.
So this is an interesting lineup that Mazzulla has put out there because you're saying, all right, Pritchard, you're clearly the second option out there with Tatum. So you've got to be willing to take the shots. And sure enough, they see this. They're like, you know what? If Pritchard's going to be that guy, then let him dribble around and do that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then Jordan Walsh draws a foul, right, though? But that's that, like, that's what you're looking for from him.
Right.
Yeah.
That activity. All right, we'll get to Patriots talk here, what they've got coming up against Chicago. How does Drake May look into the 1-2-3 of the draft picks of the quarterbacks this year as things stand right now? 617-779-7937, text line 37937. And remember, you can tell your Alexa, hey, play WEEI Boston, and it will play for you right there. It's now time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics are at home for a matchup against Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
Right now, they trail by 5 with 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Jason Tatum leads the way with 19 points in what many consider to be a revenge game for him. Derek White is 1 point behind with 18. Bruins fell back into their old habits last night, falling to the Maple Leafs 4-0 up in Toronto. Leafs scored 3 power play goals on 7 attempts. Bees will return home tomorrow for a matchup with the Calgary Flames. Puck drop from the Garden set for 7 p.m. Pats returned to the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup against number one pick Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. Safety Kyle Duggar remained absent at practice nursing an ankle injury. Limited participants included safety Marte Mapu, defensive end Keon White, and guard Layden Robinson. Pats and Bears kickoff from Soldier Field in Chicago at 1 o'clock on Sunday. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com. More KJ and Lions coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
I think just know the play's never over with Caleb. That's the biggest thing. And also I think it's his talent of throwing, making difficult throws, you know, that kind of the normal, you know, the regular eye for your quarterback, you kind of see, like, man, that's a good throw. I think, you know, watching 1 week, he's played the Jags earlier this year, he hit Keenan Allen kind of on a little seam, you know, back shoulder. You see throws like that, and like, you take that for granted. You know, he's just so talented, and I think just kind of getting through to, like I said, getting to know him and see him compete. And, you know, we never played each other, so it's first time, so it'll be pretty cool.
It's KJ Lyons on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out. It's Drake May talking about the guy who was taken 2 spots ahead of him in this past year's draft, Caleb Williams, who's facing this year. And, John, it's interesting when you go back and kind of play revisionist history. PFF's big board had Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, Jaden Daniels 3, J.J. McCarthy 4, Bo Nix 5, Michael Penix 6, Spencer Rattler 7. Those are at least the guys we've seen. I don't think the other guys we haven't seen, Michael Pratt, Jordan Travis, Joe Milton, we haven't seen. He was 10th. If I had to reorder what they have now, I would put Jaden Daniels 1, Drake May 2, Caleb Williams 3. That sound crazy?
Not crazy. I think it also, though, speaks to the situation aspect we've talked about so much with rookie quarterbacks. Like, Jaden Daniels went to the best situation out of those guys, right? Best offensive coordinator, best receiving. And even though the Bears have good receivers,
I was going to say, the Bears have the best weapons.
None of them are as good as Terry McLaurin, though, right? So, like, individually, maybe has the best single weapon. The Bears group overall is probably better. The offensive line.
You forget
line
they got
wise,
DJ Moore there in Chicago.
No,
he's DJ
good.
Moore and
he's
Keenan good. Allen together.
Yeah. No, they're good. The Bears' offensive line is probably better than Washington, but I take Washington's head coach. So, like, point being, like, Jaden Daniels went to a good situation, whereas Caleb Williams also went to a pretty good situation. Drake May didn't. And he's, I guess, to an extent, tried to make the most out of the situation he's in, but I think that's part of it, too. But I agree with you. I'd put Daniels 1, and then May and or Williams is kind of a coin flip to me at 2.
Well, the reason why I put Williams at 3 is because when you walked in, these things were gifted to you, right? You do the DJ Moore deal with Carolina and get that haul that allows you to get Caleb Williams. So you go out and shop before you even draft the quarterback. It's not like, hey, we drafted him, now we know how to go get these free agents. Keenan Allen was acquired before they even drafted Caleb Williams. So they knew, so that was kind of like, well, clearly they're taking a quarterback. Remember at the point, it was like, are they going to take Daniels or are they going to take Williams? I think Daniels is in a situation where he's helping build the culture there, where Williams may be struggling because he's got to adjust to the strong culture there. So that's why I think that might be a little bit of Caleb Williams'
and also,
trials.
And I don't know how to word this without being judgmental, but you notice that when Caleb Williams didn't play in that bowl game for USC, they still played pretty well without him. And then there was the stuff about like him going in the stands and crying with his mom after losing that one game. Like, is there a part of him that doesn't handle when they don't do well? Like, does he not do a good job handling that, right? Does he have trouble overcoming mistakes? Because he's had some really good moments, but then he's had some moments where it feels like he makes a mistake and it stacks up on him a little bit, and he has some issues. I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to be too judgmental there, but I wonder, is there a little piece of that with him? That Jaden Daniels seems to just go out there and play in the offense and go up and down the field, and if he makes a mistake, can kind of bounce right back from it.
Quick Celtics update. At the end of 3, Celtics down 1, 82-81 against Golden State.
They did storm back.
They did storm back. With Caleb Williams, and this I think is kind of a bigger picture of what's going on in Chicago. They've been having some locker room issues. And when you start having locker room issues with a first-year quarterback, there is a problem. And that could hinder the development because Caleb Williams, remember, started on fire. People were like, this guy's the real deal. And then you remember when Belichick on the Pat McAfee show said, you know, his feet is just a little too happy for me. And, you know, this guy kind of wants to kind of take off a little too much. It seems like Caleb Williams is, when he's had his off games, they've been really off games. When he's been on, maybe it's been against lesser opponents. You know, so I don't know what's going in there. So there's a part of me that wonders, is Caleb Williams just the next name in the dysfunctionality that's been the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I mean, can we even name the last time they had a good quarterback, right? I mean, it's been an organizational struggle
for them. Justin Fields for about 3 weeks a year ago.
And it feels like that coaching staff, like, this is the thing. And we talked about this with the Cowboys last offseason and some others, and even the Patriots. There were all these great coaches available. And the Bears said, all right, we're sticking with Eberflus, but they fired their offensive coordinator, brought in a new one. And now it feels like if the Bears miss the playoffs, I could see them firing Eberflus. So it's like, well,
oh yeah, it could happen before the end of the season.
Yeah, so then it's like, well, then why did you stick with this guy, or why fire the offensive coordinator? Like, that's also not a good thing for a young quarterback. We talked about this when it comes to Alex Van Pelt and the Patriots, right? One of the things bad organizations do is they perpetually put young quarterbacks in bad situations, whether it's through firing coaches or bad rosters or firing offensive coordinators. And you wonder, is that going to start to happen to Caleb Williams, especially if they lose to the Patriots, but if they don't turn it around and maybe make the playoffs, could that happen to them?
It's interesting looking at what Pro Football Focus stated about each of these players with Caleb Williams. Williamson is an incredibly talented player with natural gifts even other previous QB1s do not have. His issues are more from a lack of consistency than ability in any area. And you're kind of seeing that, right? Because if there's a lack of consistency from the coaching staff and what's going on there, it's showing up on the field with him. He has not been consistent this year. Drake May, arm talent. Let me get to Drake May last because we'll continue the conversation. Daniel's rushing ability and fundamentals give him a high floor as a player who can put a ton of stress on a defense. His arm talent is good enough to make him a decent high ceiling and make him a worthy first round bet to make. That's what you've seen.
Yep.
He's been able to use his legs, and his arm has been able to get there where you don't have to worry about a weakness with him delivering the ball. I mean, heck, he threw it, 60 yards in the air for that Hail Mary after running around for, about 40 yards?
Yeah, that sounds, it felt like that, yeah.
Right, so that says a lot about conditioning, and still in the very last game throw you make of the game, you put it right where you need to put it for your player to catch it. So it's like Jaden Daniels is doing all the things that Pro Football Focus said to look for in him. Caleb Williams is falling into that bucket as well because there has been a lack of consistency. So with Drake May, this is interesting what they say. His arm talent alone puts him in the first round in the top 10 conversation, though his ball placement and decision-making, including sacks taken, need improvement. Now, okay, the sacks, we can kind of put a little bit on the offensive line. Right, because if you've seen where he's been getting stripped, where they've been coming off of the left side of the line, attacking that left side, which is the weak side of the line, but his decision making and ball placement has been on point.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some things that I haven't loved, but I think on the whole, what's good is mostly he's gotten better week to week, and that's what's encouraging to see. The arm strength, I think you can see, like even that interception Drake May threw at the end of the Titans game.
Yeah,
like he didn't step into the throw, and he still threw it like 50 yards. Like I think that I put on him, he didn't step into the throw enough, but he still threw it 50 yards, and that's something like him and Jaden Daniels both. I think they have that arm strength in common, whereas Caleb Williams, not that he doesn't have the arm strength, but I think those two guys have more of that in their game than he does.
See, that's why I can put Jaden Daniels one, because he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, and he's winning with that, right? Drake May two, because the one thing they said that needs improvement, we are seeing that already, at least on the ball placement. We saw that right away.
And he's in the worst situation. I think that context is fair, right? Like
yes.
We mentioned, like there's nobody on the Patriots rosters we talked about earlier that teams have to game plan around.
They didn't go get anybody.
There's no DJ Moore. There's no Terry McLaurin. Their offensive line is worse than
there's
both.
There's no Keenan Allen.
You know, even their offensive coaching situation is worse than those two teams, right? So he's in the worst situation of any of those guys. So yeah, I think that you add that context in, and that, you know, maybe it gives him an edge to be the
there's no there's not even a Cole Kmet for him.
No,
right? And you
I
would
mean
say,
Hunter Henry's been pretty good,
right?
But, yeah,
but if you said you could if
running
you could
backs grow, are giving him nothing,
right? If you said you could grow Cole Kmet along as he's developing with a Drake May who's just coming in, you'd say, oh man, these guys could be together for 10 good years. Where with Hunter Henry, probably when this contract is up, he probably goes to some contender for a lower cost.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, so that's what's interesting. So getting into the Chicago game with the Patriots, it's interesting because yet here is another game between two teams that have some issues that are going on behind the walls, and you would almost feel like I would rather have the growing pains of the Patriots, even though they've got the worst record in the NFL, than to be Chicago, where I've spent considerable amount of money. And we've gone from being a contender. They were a lot of people's favorites to win the NFC North.
Yeah, that was a trendy pick.
And now they're in last in the NFC North. So to go from that to that, and we're only in week 9, like we're at the halfway mark, something has disastrously happened. That's why I'm surprised that Keenan Allen wasn't moved, for someone to say, hey, you take Keenan Allen, pay $10 million, and you've got the guy that you want, but it would probably have to be a contender or a team that believes that they can sign Keenan Allen for an extended amount of years. I don't know if you'd want to give him a ton of money at this point in his career. So you have all these weapons in front of you. You clearly have an attention deficit situation going on because you saw that in the Washington game. I think it's one thing to, like, that's what's crazy about that play. I forgot the guy's last name. But literally, you're talking to people as the play is going on, and then as the play unfolds, you're the guy who tipped the ball back to the receiver.
To be honest, and I always, and you know this, and I don't mean to be a broken record, I always hate to talk about people losing their jobs or anything like that,
right.
But if that guy was on my football team, I would have cut him the next day. Like, you cost your team a game mouthing off to fans and screwed up the play.
I mean,
like,
you can bench him. You can and from what I understand, he didn't take well to the bench.
But then did you hear he, like, left practice because they, like,
benched
reduced
him.
His role? Like, who the hell are you, man? Like,
the guy who just got benched. You know, like, when you come back into the room, you're still benched.
Deion Sanders.
Well, I mean, at this point, when you've got that going on in your locker room and you're about to play against a team where you've got a quarterback that's hungry, part of the storyline is, hey, the guy came back from a concussion after a week, performed well, almost rushed for 100 yards as well, helped took the team to overtime. So you have these positive things going on, and that Chicago team is going to be in front of their own home fans,
yep,
who are probably going to let them absolutely have it if things don't go wrong or if Drake May performs better. Think about the conversation could be in Chicago come Monday morning. Man, did the Bears make a mistake in not taking Drake May? Like, that might be a real conversation after Sunday's game. It doesn't say that the Patriots are going to go in there and win the game. But I think with all the dysfunctionality that they have going on the team, this is one of those situations where they need to go in there. Last week, the Patriots kind of laid an egg because you felt like the Patriots had better talent on the field. I mean, then again, Tony Pollard reminded you, like, I'm still pretty good, but he shouldn't have played that well against this team.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the Bears are in a spot where there's a lot to like about them, right, on their roster and that, but they're in the toughest division in the NFL, and it just feels like something is not working quite right there, right? Like, this team should be a little bit better. Like, you look at, they started out the year 4-2. You're like, okay, they're cruising along, they're all right. Then they lose on that bad Hail Mary play that we were just discussing, but then right after it, they followed up. They go to Arizona, and it was like a no-show. Like, and I don't think the Cardinals, they're better than I gave them credit for before the year, for sure. But they're not some great team.
Because you keep calling them Call of Duty, Kyle.
True, I do. But to their credit, right, I'll put my hand up. They're better than I thought they were going to be. But still, they're not some world-beating great team. And the Bears basically no-showed. 29-9 loss.
Yeah, so here's, and I guess this kind of goes to where Jerod Mayo is with this team. I think here's what's interesting at the trade deadline. I'm sure there were some players who were like, please let me go. And I think by them not being let go, some people were kind of like, they did zero at the trade deadline. And I think we would agree. What would you really get in return?
Well, yeah, right. That was our discussion earlier.
Pumpkin
like
seeds.
The most you would get for anybody is if you traded Jonathan Jones, and even that would probably be a fourth round pick, right? Like,
right.
That was going to be probably the best deal you could have made.
And maybe the discussion was they were probably
I'd rather have that? Jonathan Jones, to be honest.
Right. It probably said it would probably be somewhere late in the fourth round, whoever you're talking to, right? And so it gets close. It potentially could be two picks away from a fifth round pick. And if you feel like, hey, I still can get better value with this guy on this team than letting him go to pick, you know, 2, 3, 4 picks before the start of the fifth round. I'm really getting a fifth rounder. And so, you know, at one point I thought maybe Ramondre Stevenson would be on the chopping block potentially, that would be a better return that you could get, especially with some of these playoff teams or teams heading towards the playoff that understand they need a second runner on their on that squad. Look, if Dallas didn't fall apart, I thought that might have, remember we talked about that, it could be a potential, but Dallas has lost 2 straight. So now Dallas isn't playing for anything, but, you know, to keep people quiet. Dak Prescott is out. Do you go with Trey Lance? Do you go with, you know, Cooper Leonard? You know, so all these different things are happening. So you get guys to stay here, and so now this probably should be kind of this beacon signal to some of these guys. You need to perform. Because at the end of the day, other teams saw no value in you. So the question is, why do we still see value in you? So this is one of those games where on the road, you get up against the rookie quarterback. So, you know, you want to play for your guy. This is the guy who was taken before your guy. And so What a way, if you can get Drake May a win against the guy that was taken ahead of him, that's another thing that you can put into your cap in terms of developing the culture of this team through the season. So these guys got to play. I mean, at the end of the day, some of them didn't get their wish of getting traded because they knew they would get traded to some other team for virtually nothing, but have a chance to win something. Now you got to prove that you still belong in the NFL.
And I think it's something to watch here, because it's a new head coach, right? New staff, rookie quarterback. How do they handle different situations, right? Because we've said, hey, they've won two games this year, and then they followed both of them up with a loss, right? So maybe they didn't do a good enough job handling success well. Now they've lost a game in overtime, walk-off style, which can be really demoralizing for a team. How do they handle it? Do they bounce back? Does Drake May overcome those two interceptions in the fumble? Does it get in his head? Does Jerod Mayo have the guys ready to go, ready to bounce back and move on? Like, it's another thing, especially now the trade deadline has passed. These are your guys, right?
Yep.
No one else is coming in or out, and nothing significant. So how do they handle this? I think it's something to watch, because as this team develops, there's going to be games where Drake May plays poorly. There's going to be games where they don't win. How do they bounce back in it? Because if they aren't able to bounce back, if they stack losses together, then that's a really bad sign. And that's what we saw. They beat Cincinnati in week one. They lose in overtime to Seattle week two. And then they lose, what, the next five? Right? And then, okay, you beat the Jets, and you follow that up immediately with another loss in overtime, by the way. So does it become like that Seattle loss where all of a sudden the bad performances snowball, or do you bounce back and you play a lot better the next week?
Well, I think the narrative is different, right? Because once you started to go into that slide, Drake May hadn't been put in there yet.
And your schedule was tough at that point.
Right. So you've got some games on the schedule coming up that you feel like, okay, these can be competitive, maybe winnable games, but you have to know that the team has a winning mindset. And keep in mind, you know, when it seemed like this team was in revolt, you remember the wide receivers were doing quite a bit of yapping and stuff like that, whether it be through subliminal hints or stuff you saw on social media. These guys now know that they have no out. So, like you said, once the trade deadline,
Joe Judge sweatshirts, no one's coming. It's up to us.
Right? Exactly. Oh my gosh! Really, please don't. He don't show up. So, but it's one of those situations where, okay, you thought you might be able to attitude your way out, right? Because if a player gets traded to a competitive team and the team you're leaving only gets like a fifth or sixth or seventh round pick, do you care as the player what goes back?
No.
No. Right? So I think some of those guys were kind of maybe had the idea of thinking, oh my gosh, Nemus Queta is just
Castellanos deep to left field. Yeah, I actually almost interrupted you and said that earlier. This is, and how about Shane on the Cape calls us, asked about Queta, and he's having a great third, fourth quarter.
Yeah, so maybe Shane is really a lucky charm.
Yeah. So he needs to start calling us and being like, hey, how's the night show? How's the Raiders? You know, and
we'll he should be like, man, you guys are getting paid today, right? Be like, technically it was last week, but maybe you are going to get us paid.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I don't believe Mayo has less control of this team. I think that has all been settled. I think it's now a question of, hey, guy, if you didn't want to be here at trade deadline and whatever method of madness you were thinking of using to get yourself out of here, it didn't work. So now you've got to compete. Oh, the quarterback is the shining star here. Now there's no excuse, right? Because let's just call it what it is. If Jacoby Brissett was still in there and you were still getting the same results from earlier in the season, this team doesn't really, do they really care when you're going to put the new guy in? There would be probably kind of a mini revolt now. My goodness, what a Nemus Queta drink at halftime.
Yeah, some Porzingis juice. Yeah.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But it probably helps.
Right. So Celtics up by 7 right now with about 6.5 left in the fourth quarter against the Warriors. The defense intensity is just absolutely turned up. So you probably should have taken my gig in the Lions then.
No, I can't. You know what? The one time I say I don't think they're going to roar. And look, I mean, like
I changed up the question. I said, hey, are they going to roar in the second half?
The one time I say meow.
And they are roaring, depending on what happens, but they're definitely roaring, that's for sure. All right, KJ and Lions, we wrap up the show next here on WEEI. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for hanging out.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
Not much of a girlfriend. Never seemed to get a lot. KJ and Lyons, we give you a lot. What is it, 20-pound show in a 5-pound bag?
That's what I've been told.
Has been told about this show. And so we just thank every one of you, whether you've been here for the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or you've been here through the complete show. If you have, thanks, Mom. Thanks, wife. And I'm totally kidding. They listen to the 0 minutes of the show. But, hey, we've talked everything Celtics. We've even kind of taken you through the journey of the game. That is a talent, John. To be able to take you through the journey of the game without telling you everything in the game, it's like a shadow broadcast. It's kind of like, you know, like a...
And this is turning out to be what we said before the game, not just the whole revenge thing and all that, but a actual entertaining game between two really good teams. Like, Warriors 6-1, Celtics, obviously, we know how great they are. This has turned into a legitimately good game.
Well, you remember my concern at halftime when the Celtics only had 40 points. I was just like, oh, man, are you telling me that the Celtics may have to score about 70 more points in the second half to win this game? They're only 13 points off from that.
Yeah.
So, and there's still 4 minutes and some change left. So they could get to 110. But I also believe they'll be able to, as long as Golden State doesn't go on a run, if Golden State right now at 96, if they get over 102, it could be a problem for the Celtics if they make a quick run here in the next couple of minutes. Like, the Celtics need to get over 100. They need to get to about 104 to win this game. But if they're sitting stagnant at about 102, I would be concerned. And the last thing we want to see is what? Steph Curry hitting some game-winning shot or some late three after being virtually quiet this whole game. But, you know, look, this has been is this the Quetta game? You know, like, is this – like it probably kind of falls into that bag, because very much like the Indiana game last week, where the starters were just kind of like, they were asleep, they were lethargic. It's Peyton Pritchard that kind of helps wake them up in the second half, that gets them going and giving them the energy, even though they end up losing that game. They really should have been blown out of the water that game. And this game, you'd probably say, they should have been blown out of the water of this game, and now not only do they lead, but they have a chance to kind of put this game away in the last 4 minutes with their closer. And then it kind of goes back to the narrative about Jason Tatum, right? In this national showcase game, horrible first half. You turn it around in the second half. Now suddenly you go from being down a considerable amount to now being up by a few points.
He started out, what do you have, 5 points in the first quarter, and right, now he's up to 25.
25, like, he's Derek really White at 26. Back. Yep, and yeah. And remember I said Pritchard having seven, eight points at the first half was okay, because his ideal number is somewhere around 15.
Yep, and he's sitting at 13 right now.
He's at 13 right now. So you still haven't really gotten anything from Holiday, 6 points, 7 points from Horford. Well, actually, with Horford, I said, you know, look, if it ends up being about 8 points, that's about right. So, you know, it really comes down to Namus Quetta and what he's given in the 12 points and just the activity with 8 rebounds and 5 offensive rebounds. I mean, those 5 offensive rebounds could be the difference of 10 points.
Yeah, and Derek White started this game. I think he scored 9 points in the first 12 like, three
at the
or
half,
minutes.
I think. Yep.
Yeah, and then he kind of cooled off for a bit, and it felt like Pritchard and Kata kind of picked up that slack a little bit, because this was, what, an 11-point game at halftime? It was that third
51-40.
Quarter.
51-40, yep.
Yeah, it was that third quarter where the Celtics came out and really made this a game, and a lot of it was Kata and Pritchard.
Yeah, it's just an impressive the third quarter, with they outscored him 41-31. So even still, like, I'm still not happy with the 30-point quarters, and Golden State is, you know, leading them and scoring this quarter. But this is where the defense really has to clamp down. You don't want to find yourself giving – if Golden State gets another 30 points in this fourth quarter, I would find it hard for the Celtics to win this game, because they've only scored 18 in the fourth quarter so far.
Yeah, it's been a quiet fourth. I mean, they expended so much energy coming back.
Right.
And when your rotation isn't as deep, right, with no Jaylen Brown there, then it's a little bit tougher to kind of sustain that all the way through the fourth.
Almost exactly what happened, and now the Celtics are down 3 with just under 3 minutes left. John, I have to say, and Zach, you can tell me, was not Young and the Clueless fun to do? Was that not fun?
It was no Just a Jag, but it was pretty good.
Everything is not supposed to be in that one.
Just a Jag, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that's the measuring stick.
No, it's not, because it's like, you don't measure your children like, you know, like, hey, that's the child I measure all my other kids by.
You said you did that.
No, there's no way.
Just kidding.
I was going to say, there's no way. I mean, I love my kids equally the same.
No, we do that with our producers, though. You know, secretly we rape Braverman.
I don't
and Zach
do that. I don't do.
You know?
Well, here's the thing that I will say, and all the producers that have worked this show or worked with me can tell you this. I prepare them for anything fast that comes at them. They really get morning show speed intensity. Am I not lying, Zach?
Yeah, no, you're not lying at all.
Yeah, so because I've done morning shows my entire career, it's like once I get to sports, they're like, okay, we'll put them in a back smoky room, put them on at 3 a.m. in the morning, Ernest Stripes. Yeah, I got to do a damn morning show just to be able to be on it sometime when the sun is on. No, I'm kidding. Maybe.
Only one way to learn. Got to get thrown into the fire.
Yeah, except for when your fire was like you were in morning drive here and you were top 10, 25, 54. Okay, I was like 11 or 12 with that morning show. You know, true story. This some of, I know Chris Curtis will get a laugh out of this. So when I was doing the morning show and we were initially over at 20 Guest Street and then the government came in and split us all apart, we were literally doing that morning show, that really all those shows, from a broom closet. Like we weren't even in the old, I can't call its name because it's not part of the cluster anymore, but it used to be a news station there. And that used to be their studio. So we used to look into the old studio of the news station, talk news station that was there. And we were doing the show, a two-person show, sitting next to each other like 5 feet apart and made it work. So, like, don't tell me I haven't gone through my strikes here in Boston. But, I think that's the fun thing about this show is you can get something. I think the young or the clueless is great.
That should be a recurring bit. You know,
that's not an every week bit.
Yeah, maybe
that's
a quarter, every couple months or so.
You said quarterly?
Yeah, quarterly, every couple months.
Smack it down. That's not a quarterly bit. I mean, I would never tell you exactly the amount of this. You know what listeners don't know? There are still features in the can ready to go that just haven't been pulled the trigger on. Almost, did I not put it in the notes at one? You might not have seen the notes I took. I was like, nah, still not ready to do that one yet.
Actually, I feel like I might have.
Yeah, you know about that one. I don't even think Zach knows. So, like, it's like a content factory, KJ and Lions. It really is. So you get what? Just a Jag, Would You Rather? I know Zach is a fan of Would You Rather More Likely to Either Or.
He plays it with his friends.
Oh, the game. Okay. Where did that come from? Yeah, so that Would You Rather... Then you've got Playoff Tree. That I'll do that Friday night when I'm in here solo. You're like, I thought we were going to do Playoff Tree tonight. Did you kind of feel like that way?
Well, I had it. I was kind of thinking of it in my mind. I'm like, no, we'll do that. Save that for Friday because I won't even be here.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so yeah, just, I'll be in here next one Friday, solo 6 to 9. John and I will be back again next Tuesday, but John will be on Sunday on the 6. Wait, you're going to be on Six Rings post game?
Yeah, Andy Hart and I. Fitzy is away for the weekend. So.
Okay, because that's funny because Fitzy, I'd said if something crazy had happened when Fitzy and I did the show, he said he would have me on Six Rings podcast. I said, that's what it would take for me to be on your show on Sunday. Now, I'll be honest with you. By that time, I might have had a few. You know, like I've had like 10 barrels of popcorn. So, yeah, but I know it'd be fun because I think your football expertise will definitely help out.
Yeah, I did one with Fitzy last year, so I'm looking forward to doing this one with Hart.
Oh, so this is kind of the annual thing. So and I think I might have told you this last year. You're going to have to sneak in KJ and Lions and Just a Jag as terminology when you're on there.
It's happening. It's happening.
my man. So have fun Sunday. Talk to you again on Friday here on WEEI. Zach, thank you so much. Daniel as well. Am I saying his name right again, Daniel?
David.
David. Okay, so David, this will be the last time I mess up your name because I messed it up with the same exact name last time, did I not?
Yeah, exact same name.
Exact same name.
Zach won't even let him talk. It's his intern. Like, you can't let... Can't
I
even
told
let,
him he could turn his mic
can't
on.
Can't even let him say his own
turn
name.
Turn your mic on and say, damn it, KJ, my name is David.
Zach won't let him talk.
He won't let him do it. Zach is like, no, don't do that. So thank you guys so much, guys, for your work. And talk to you Friday. John talks to you Sunday. We'll both talk to you again together Tuesday. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.